It's a big schuss to be back in Torah Circle. We're zocha to spend some time here. East Side. Hope that's not like a rivalry too much. Thank you for inviting me to the West Side. But it's good to be back. Brings back a lot of fond memories, like looking for parking spots and things like that. But thank you to the Babbages for hosting.
Pleasure.
We'll start with a maisa from Rosh Hashanah. A great maisa that I heard once from a Rav. The story goes that Rav Shalom Shadron, who lived in Shaar Chesed, you know, he was a very friendly, outgoing person. Rav Shalom Shadron's shir was, you know, that was like the big event to go to. He'd pack the house with people with his words of chizik and musar. Anyways, Rav Shalom Shadron was a friendly individual. He was walking the streets, and he used to pass this guy, this younger man, this irreligious, traditional, what you call a traditional Jew on the street, and he'd always try to mechazik him to take on mitzvos. He'd say to him, listen, maybe you want to start wearing tefillin. Rabbi, it's not, that's not my thing. Shabbos, maybe you like Shabbos candles, not such a big deal. It's not my thing. He always used to say, he was always docher Rishalom, by saying, Rabbi, have a good heart. Have a good heart. So Rishalom says, I'm sure, I believe you that you have a good heart. You're probably, the nicest guy in the world, And they were developing this friendship. But Rishalom says, you have to do mitzvahs. And he used to pass this guy constantly, day in and day out, always passing this fellow on the street, trying to be mechazik him to do mitzvahs b'maisa. Happens that at some point this fellow stops, crossing paths with Rav Shalom on the street. A day goes by, he misses him, the next day goes by, nothing's doing. So he goes to the guy's house, he knocks on the door, his daughter opens the door, and he says, your father, my friend, I haven't seen him in a while. Is everything okay? She says, you didn't hear? He says, well, what's wrong? What happened? He says, my father was in a terrible motorcycle accident. He's in the Shaar Tzedek, he's in the hospital. So Shalom says, can I visit him? He says, yes, sure, he would probably be very happy to see you. So he goes running to the hospital, and he finds out where this guy's room is, and he goes up to the ninth floor, and he sees the guy, and the guy's in bad shape. He's bandaged literally from head to toe. Broken leg, broken arm, broken ribs. He's momish, bandaged neck, everything. So Shalom looks at him, and the guy gives him, Shalom a little smile. And Shalom, in a way that only Shalom Shodron could have done, says to him, he says, no, how are you? Has everything. So the guy says, Rishalom, can't you see? He says, my arm is fractured in 15 places, and my ribs, and my neck is, my leg is dislocated, and this, and, what do you mean, how am I? But Rishalom says to him, he says, but you have a good heart, right? Your heart's working. I can see on the monitor, your heart's perfectly fine. You've got a good heart. So the guy, was somewhat macabre at that point, that a person can't only live by his heart. Of course, we have to be Jews who are connected in our hearts, and obviously that's a big part of Avodas Hashem, right? But it's important to realize that a Jew has to live in the Olam HaMaisa. We live in the tangible world, in the real world, and it's incumbent upon us to take the mitzvos and to see them as opportunities to involve the guf, to involve the physical world. So I want to share with you an amazing, good part of the shir is based on a really unbelievable Yisa Bracha. Yisa Bracha was the second Majlis Rebbe, Rav Shaul Yedidya Elazar of Majlis. And Sefer is called Yisa Bracha, a beautiful piece, the first piece in this week's Parsha, an unbelievable piece. You'll see it's so miduyak. I debated with the sources. I was talking to Josh Aaron, and I said, should we do sources? Should we not do sources? But once, you have to kind of follow this in the sources just to see how precise he reads the psukim. What was the problem with Korach? What goes wrong with Korach? Source number one, Vayikach Korach, Ein Vayikach El Lashon Pliga, Shelibo Lacha. His heart took him, he was taken by his heart. What's the pshat? He was taken by his heart. Kenyan shenemar, ma'ikachacha, libecha, pasuk in Iyov. Right? Says the Yisa Bracha, he says, I don't understand. Everything that we do, we're taken by our hearts. Libo lach, his heart took him. What decision that we make that's negative the Torah, that has negative ramifications, is not based on our heart? What's the chiddush? Libo lach, his heart took him. It's question number one. He says, Moshe responds in his speech right before the chevra gets swallowed up. Right, in Parak Tes Zayin, in this week's Parsha, in source number 2, Vayomer Moshe bezos teidun, ki Hashem shalachani lasos es kol ha-maisim ha'ila ki lo milibi. Moshe says, Hashem sent me to you, and that's, everything that I've declared, this whole test that we're going to undergo, was all Hashem's plan, ki lo milibi. It's not from my heart, I didn't make it up. So again, the Majlis Rebbe says, I don't understand, you just told me, ki Hashem shalachani, you told me Hashem created this. Why do you have to repeat, ki lo milibi? Doesn't ki Hashem shalachani, doesn't that already imply that it's lo milibi? It's clear that Hashem is the one calling the shots. So these are his opening two questions. What does it mean again, libo lacho? And what does it mean ki lo milibi after it already told us ki Hashem shalachani? It's good, strong questions in the Pesukim. So to answer it, he brings the following medrash, Tana de Be'aliyahu Rabba. Now just to show you, you know, Niflos HaTorah, Hashkacha Pratis, I was sitting this past Sunday at a wedding. Was it Sunday? I guess it was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. This past Sunday I was at a wedding. I was talking to my wife's cousin's husband, and he was telling me about one of his friends who's going through a tough time in his Avodas Hashem, asking a lot of questions, you know, scary stuff. You hear people nowadays, unfortunately, that people suffering with, you know, basic emunah questions. I mean, I spend, you know, half my day teaching high school boys, dealing with these types of questions, so they don't come up when you're married and have a family, and all of a sudden you start questioning whether or not there's Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a very scary thing for a family and for, you know, for a person who's becoming an adult to start asking these questions that should have hopefully been resolved long ago. And he told me, as I was talking to him, he told me he's learning Derech Hashem to have better answers to his friend, to try to respond to certain things. He told me his friend started to have all sorts of doubts about Netilas Yadayim. Like, for some reason, he got very hung up on that point. And Netilas Yadayim doesn't make any sense, and there's no such thing, right? We used to think that there was a concept of Ruach Ra, some type of spiritual thing, but really, it's just about hands being dirty, and if we sleep in pajamas, your hands aren't dirty. He decided, I'm not washing Netilas Yadayim in the morning. Obviously, the Sfarim have, Halacha has a lot to say about it. The deeper Sfarim have plenty to say about the Inyan of Netilas Yadayim, why it's the, you know, the opening of Voda of a Yid's day. Right? But he decided, he stopped, you know, that was his expression of his rebelliousness, of his struggle in Emunah, was for some reason expressing itself in the concept of Netilas Yadayim. And it's amazing because it's not by chance, right, that Dafka, a person who sometimes is struggling with issues of Emunah, is going to be suffering in the area of Netilas Yadayim. Right, the Pasuk tells us by Amalek, it's not on the source sheet in front of you, I'm just going to read, Rabbi Nachman says in the Likutei Moharan, in Torah Chav Beis, he says, right, the Yadayim is Bechinas Emunah. For some reason, hands corresponds to the concept of emunah. V'bechinas kasher dibra Hashem biyad Moshe. V'yihi yadav emunah. Like it says by Moshe, when he's standing there with his hands raised by the battle of Melchamas Amalek. The hands are emunah. The hands are a source of emunah. And we find in biographies of Gedolim that this was a test that Gedolim would use against people. In Rabbi Akiva Eger's biography, it brings down that Rabbi Akiva Eger was able to tell how a person is doing based on watching him wash Netilas Yadayim. Based on how careful he's in the Netilas Yadayim. It's a revelation of a person's emunah, which is a fascinating idea to understand the relationship between the two. So it was amazing. So I was talking to my wife's cousin's husband about this, and then I saw this piece from the Issa Bracha, and he quotes the following medrash. A fascinating, it's mind-boggling. Why should this be? Source number 3. Kol mezalzel b'rechitzas yadayim siman rala. A person who doesn't take Netilas Yadayim seriously, it's a bad sign. What does it mean it's a bad sign? A love who omer. Vahaya bishamo is divrei ha'Allah hazos v'izbarich b'levavo. Let's look at the psukim. They're in source number 5. Right, these are the psukim at the end of Parshas Nitzavim. The psukim that describe what? The end of, I mean, Parshas Nitzavim is pretty short. There's not so much a beginning and end. It's 40 psukim, the whole thing. Right, but the psukim in Nitzavim describe the ultimate rebel. And this is the pasuk that is being applied to one who's mezalzel. It doesn't even say that he stopped washing the tefillin. He's just not taking it so seriously. Right? Look what the Pesukim say in source 5. V'haya b'shamo is divrei ha'Allah azos. A person hears all of these curses, all the potentially very harmful things. B'yizbarech b'levavo lemar shalom yali. And he blesses himself saying, everything's going to be good by me. Ki b'shrius li b'elech. I'm going to do what I want and I'm going to get away with it. Nothing's going to happen to me. These are the Pesukim that are being applied to a person who is mezalzel netilas yadayim. Pasuk Yud Tes, lo yova Hashem slavach lo. Hashem will not, under any circumstances, forgive such an individual. That's a person, isn't it? The Majlis Rebbe says, what's the connection? Why is this an expression of the greatest rejection of Hashem? That he's mezalzel b'rechitzas yadayim? Going back to source number 3, halamata shel kol mevayit b'netilas yadayim siman ralo. Such a siman ralo that he's, right, ra, we know, the word ra and the word rasha are very different. Rasha implies that there's still a potential inside. That shin is a letter of Kedusha. The shin, the three-pronged shin, represents Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He still has a connection, bepnimius, to the Avos. Right? He's rooted in Judaism. Ra, on the other hand, represents something that's kulo ra. When the Torah describes something that's totally wasted and destroyed, right? We use the term ra. It means that there's no potential. So siman ra lo is a very harsh language. You're applying psukim to this person, someone who's completely rejected a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So this says the Majlis Rebbe, how do we make sense of this medrash? So he starts to answer all these questions with the following yesod. And we'll see this is really the yesod in Korach and a big yesod in life. He says we have to learn to connect, right? We live in the world of Asiya, like we said. We live in the tangible world. We live in Olam Hazeh. And we want to be spiritually connected Jews. Right? And if we're not spiritually connected Jews, there's a good chance we're not going to be such great Jews. But Lemaisa, at the end of the day, we have to be people who are motivated to doing mitzvot and to doing chesed and to doing, right, to be active as Jews. That's the avodah. That's what it means to live in this world. To combine, yes, to have the machshavas and to have the kavanas, but it has to be rooted in maisa. He says that's what we say in Tehillim in source number 4. And some people actually say this pasuk as they wash netilas yadayim, either before or during. Right? Different minhagim, different people have different practices. But the pasuk says in Tehillim in source number 4, ve'asak kapai el mitzvosecha. Right? I'll raise up kapai, my hands, the maisa yadayim. I'll attach my hands, the maisa. Right, asher ahavti. What's that? Asher ahavti. That's the machshava. That's the feeling. That's the hergish. But it has to. They have to go together. I have to raise my hands to do the mitzvos at the same time, connecting the maisa with the kavana, with the machshava, and that's vasicha bechukacha. Right. That's the bridging together. That's really bringing out what the mitzvos are all about. So netilas yadayim. The concept of netilas yadayim is that a person has to be involved with his maisa yadayim. And a person who doesn't, God forbid, is uprooting the whole essence of the Torah. If a person says, like the Surah of Shalom Shadran, I'm a good person, I have a good heart. So that's very nice. And you'll encounter a lot of people who will say that in life. Why do I need to do, you know, Rabbi, why do I need to do this? Or yeah, anyone, why do I need to do this? You think really shaking the lulav makes me a good person? Right? I know someone who dresses very frum and, you know, and he shakes a lulav, but he's not a nice person. So I'm a better Jew than he is. Right? How do we define what a good person is, what a good Jew is? So the answer is that, you know, neither of them are right. The guy who looks like a chassid but doesn't know how to say thank you to the person behind the register is not such a good Jew. And the person who's very polite but also doesn't put on tefillin is also not such a good Jew. The goal is to bridge those two worlds. I involve the ma'aseh yadayim, but it's still with a sense of asher ahavti, with a passion, with an excitement, with a machshava. So he says this is the pshat in the psukim. Let's go back to the psukim now in source number 5. Right? What's happening in this pasuk here? V'haya b'shamo es divrei ha'ala hazos. A person hears the curses, and what happens? V'izbarach v'lovav lemar. He blesses himself, saying, "Shalom yali ki b'shrius li bi'elech." So much as Rami says, that pasuk's a little weird. What should the pasuk say? The pasuk should say, right? Shalom yali. Everything's going to be good by me. Afalpi, even though I do what I want. That's what he's saying, no? Right? Af shebishrius li bi'elech. Everything's going to be fine by me. I don't care. I'm not scared of God. I do what I want, and you'll see I'm going to get away with it. And Hashem says, you think you're going to get away with it? Right? That the pasuk should say, af b'shrius li b'le'elech. That's not what it says, though. So the Magid Rebbe says, you know what this guy is saying? This guy is saying, you know why, Shalom Yali? You know why, Shalom Yali? Ki b'shrius li b'elech. Because I'm a good Jew in my heart. Why should I be punished? I'm a good guy. I'm a nice person. So my tefillin aren't so kosher, and my Shabbos isn't so perfect. Right? But, you know, I'm generally a decent person, and I do the mitzvahs, but I'm not so medactic necessarily. But I'm a nice guy. Right? I'm a very friendly person. I say hello to people in the street. I smile at people. Right? And that's tremendously important. And the Torah says, you're going to have this person, and he's going to say, Ki b'shrius li b'elech. My heart's in a good place. The Gemara says it. Right? Sanhedrin Kavav. Achmanu li b'bay. God desires the hearts. That's the main thing, no? So a person will use this as an excuse for himself. Says the Magid Sarebi, it's not going to work. If you think you're going to live just with the heart, you're going to fall apart. It's not the whole system will not work. Why? What does the pasuk go on to say? Leman sifos harava es atzmeya. What does that mean? To add on the drunk to the thirsty. Mefarshim were trying to make sense of this pasuk. It's a difficult pasuk to understand just in pshat. Rashi says a person who's drunk is a person who does an aveira unintentionally. Right? Now you can blame it. What do you mean? You got drunk. It's your fault. Who told you to get drunk to begin with? But Rashi defines the right, the one who's harava, the one who's had to drink. If he doesn't aver, it's by accident. As opposed to the tzmeya, the one who's still thirsty, he has not yet had what to drink, and therefore his mind is clear. And if he does something negative, so he's held more accountable. So the pasuk says that what? Again, I'm just trying to explain pashup shot in the pasuk. Hashem says, if you have this attitude, I'm going to do what I want. Again, going back to Pashup Shah. If you have this attitude, I do what I want. So Hashem says, you know what? If that's going to be your attitude, I'm going to hold you accountable even for your accidents. Because essentially, you've said, I don't care about anything. I don't care if I do it on purpose. I don't care. Hashem says, I'd have a little rachmanis on you if it was an accident. But you're basically saying, I don't care at all. So Hashem says, I'm going to hold you accountable for everything. But the Magid Rebbe, using his yesod again, what is the guy's claim? His barich b'lavavu, he excuses himself by saying, "Ki b'shrius li b'elech, I'm a good guy, have a good heart." So the Magister Rebbe says, you know why that doesn't work? Leman sefos haravas etzmeya. Imagine a person who's thirsty. So he decides, you know what, I'm very thirsty, so I'm going to think about taking a drink. It doesn't do anything. It's not going to work unless you take a drink. In fact, it's going to make you thirstier. He says a person has a good business plan. You can have the most perfect, wonderful, right, thought-out business plan. You've worked out all the details, and yet, you're not going to make a penny until you do something. So a person, again, who wants to live with this attitude, a person who's mezalzel b'netilas yadayim, but the maisa yadayim, I don't need to involve myself. It's enough just to have good intent. Right? If a person has that attitude, now you understand why the Medrash applies this pasuk to this individual. He's mezalzel b'netilas yadayim, he uproots the whole Torah. He thinks it's enough to just be a good person in his heart. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai and he says the following in source number 6. Ve'efen ve'ered min ahar. Moshe comes down the mountain, right? He's describing to Klal Yisrael and Dvarim Perek Tes. Va'ahar bo er be'esh. The mountain is still on fire. U'shnei luchos habris al shtei yadai. Says the Majid Tzrevi, what do you mean al shtei yadai? Just say, he has the two luchos habris, right? Bi'adai, in my hand. What do you mean al shtei yadai? They're on my hands? He goes on. That's question one. He has three questions on this series of psukim. You made a horrible eagle. You've done this terrible act of Avodah Zarah. You've quickly abandoned the path that God put you on. You've chucked it, right? And what have you done? You've taken this new path of the eagle. So Moshe says, what did I do? Again, what do you mean, ma'al shtei yadai? Just say, I threw down the luchos. It's understood. What do you throw with? You throw with your hands. Why do you need to say me'al shtei yadai? It seems extra. And lastly, the pasuk concludes, va'ashbereichem le'einechem. I broke it in your eyes. Why not say I broke it lifneichem, before you? It's say I broke it in your eyes. What's the pshat? So he says you have to understand what einayim mean. You have to understand what yadayim mean. And at this point, we should hopefully be able to figure it out. But if you look by tefillin, by the mitzvah of tefillin. In source number 7, V'samtem es divarai ila al levavchem v'al nafshachem u'ksharetem osam li'os al yadchem v'hayu l'totafos b'en einechem. Says the Majid Tzrevi, why did Hashem pick those two limbs, those two spots of the body, the yad, right, and the einayim, right, meaning opposite the malach? Why dafka those evarim are used in the mitzvah of tefillin? Why not bind it to your leg, right? Why not bind it to, I don't know, your ear? Why dafka connected the moach and connected the yad? What's the pshat? So he says you have to understand what these things represent. The yad again represents maisi yadayim, right? The einayim, the moach, represents machshava, represents kavana. Says the Torah, if you want to be a well-rounded Jew, if you want to be a complete Jew, if you want to be a correct Jew, uksharetem osam li'os al yadchem, you have to first be someone who's committed to doing the maisa, right? Nasa v'nishma, I'm prepared to do for you, Hashem. And then all the kavanah is gavaldik. The more kavanah I can put into it, the more thoughtful I'm about it, the more I understand the pnimius of it. And how many people go through their whole life doing things but not really understanding it? Try to understand lulav. Go read what the Arizal says about lulav. Understand why I'm shaking a palm branch. Understand why I'm taking a dead animal, you know, and fashioning it into a little square and putting it on my arm. And if the square is a little bit off, it's not good. Go figure out why my tefillin shel rosh has a shin with three heads and a shin with four heads, right? Shin with three heads and four heads, Gimel and Dalet. Rebbeinu Bachaya says that God, actually the God, when they used to go out to battle, they were successful because they wore their tefillin. So you have a three and a four, a Gimel and a Dalet, God, and there's deep kavanas here. So go figure these things out, go learn, go understand why we do these things. But you have to be willing to do it. Otherwise, God forbid, a person uproots the whole Torah. Right? I'm thinking about it, but you're still going to be thirsty. You're going to be thirsting for more if you're not committed. And that's really what it means to be an Eved Hashem, to show Hashem that I'm willing to act. You know, imagine a person gets married. And he says to his wife, right, he's in the yichud room, and it's a big simcha, and he says to his wife, listen, I just have to tell you one thing. You know, I don't know what I'm going to be willing to do for you. I can't promise you that I'm going to get a job. I can't promise that, you know, God willing, when we have kids, I'm going to help out. I'm not going to take out the garbage, right? But I just want you to know that I love you from the bottom of my heart. And I'll always love you, no matter what I do. No matter what I do outside the home, in the home. You know, don't be bothered by my actions, right? She'll divorce him on the spot. What kind of crazy relationship is that? I love you, but I'm not willing to do anything for you. The way that we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we love him is through the performance of doing. That's where the Mesiras Nefesh comes in. The Ramban in Shmos Parachof. Listen to this medrash that the Ramban quotes. It's in Parshas Yisro, Parachof Pasuk Vav. Right? It's on the pasuk Lo'avai u'lishomer mitzvosai. Says the Ramban, of course the Medrash, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Lo'avai u'lishomer mitzvosai eilu shem yoshim be'eretz Yisrael. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzi told me this week, a person sitting and learning is in Eretz Yisrael. So we're all in Eretz Yisrael right now. Right? It's Mesiras Nefesh. Being in Eretz Yisrael is Mesiras Nefesh. Sitting and learning is Mesiras Nefesh. I take from my time and I dedicate it to Hashem. Although it's very sweet, it shouldn't be so painful for us to get ourselves to learn a little. Right? But we're sitting in Eretz Yisrael now. That's what the Marsha says, that's what the Gras says, that's what Tzaduk says. Right? When a person's learning, when he's in the Beis Medrash, the Gemara says in Megillah Chavtes, the lost level of the Beis Medrash is going to be carried to Eretz Yisrael. So we're in Eretz Yisrael right now. This room is Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. A person who's Olavai Lashomim Mitzvosai, a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Nosnin nafshim ala mitzvos. It's mesiras nefesh for mitzvos. It's not just I love you, but, you know, but I'm going to do what I want. Right? It's I love you, and I'm going to show you that I love you. And he goes on, the Medrash quotes, malacha yotze leharek. You see a person being taken out to be executed. Why are you being taken out to be executed? Al shemalti as banai. Right, bini. I circumcised my son. And, you know, then the non-Jewish government didn't like it, so they're going to kill me. Malacha yotze leharek. Why are you being taken out to be burned at the stake? Al shekarasi b'tara. Because I read Torah. Mesiras nefesh. Malacha yotze litzalev. Why are you being hanged? Asher achalti es ha-matzah. I ate matzah. The guy were very upset that I ate matzah. So you're taking me to kill me. Malacha loka. You're being taken to be whipped. What's going on? Asher natalti es ha-lulav. I carried a lulav. The Ramban says, if you want to be an Ohev Hashem, you want to express Avas Hashem, it's not enough to say, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, I love you. In theory, I love you. Right? No matter what I do, but. Right? The way to show Kodesh Baruch Hu that we truly love him is what? Is through the Maisei Yadayim. Right? To not be mezalzel b'netilas yadayim. To be excited, to be active in mitzvos. To be willing to be moser nefesh. To know that I have a good parking spot and I'm still going to, you know, if I have to drive tomorrow, knowing I'm going to lose that parking spot. That's a mesiras nefesh. That's a person who's willing to act, who's willing to do. It's not enough to say, you know, I would, but right? I'm really prepared to do it. And now you come back to the questions that the Yisa Bracha asked. Divrei Yisrael is the first Majlis Rebbe. The Yisa Bracha asked in Source 6, the three questions. It all makes perfect sense. Moshe comes down from the mountain, and he has the Shnei Luchos Al Shtei Yadai. What do you mean Al Shtei Yadai? It's on my two hands. Torah is all built. It's all, the whole thing is resting on Shtei Yadai. The whole thing is Miyusad. It's built, it's founded on the concept of Shtei Yadai. If you don't have the hands, you don't have anything. So Moshe comes to them, he says, Egel. I mean, the eagle was very lofty kavanas. Read the Svarim about the eagle. It was all, in Maisa, it was a failure. But a kavana was the most gavaldic thing in the world. Right? Eagles, Rashi Tevos, Gedola, Avera, Lishma. I'm saying we're talking about deep, they're doing deep stuff here. They're not messing around. They have a lot of, but it's not Lamaisa. It's not what Hashem wants. So Moshe comes down, and what does he do? Va'ash lechem me'al Shtei Yadai. He says to them, you've thrown off the concept of Shtei Yadai. You've totally rejected the concept of Maisa, of Netilas Yadayim. You rejected it. And therefore, what does he say to them? If you're going to do that, ve'eshbereim le'einechem, you might as well chuck the le'einechem, right? If you're not going to do la'os al yedchem, then you're wasting your time with letotafos be'einechem. There's no point of all your kavanas and all of your nice thoughts to be the nice person in your heart, but I'm not committed to doing anything. That's a joke. Hashem says I'm not interested in that. And this is the chet of Korach. This is exactly what went wrong with Korach. Obviously, in a very lofty way, we can't even begin to understand the godless of Korach. Talking about a tzaddik like no one we've ever heard about, you know, in the world in which we live, to take all the gedolei ador, put them together, you know, like it says in Pirkei Avos, right? You put everyone on Kaf Maznayim and Korach on the other side, he'd outweigh them all. He was a zakin, he was 130 years old at the time. A zakin with a long white beard, a chacham, right? A tzaddik, a kadosh shetar, right? And yet, what was his mistake? Where did he go wrong? Again, on a very dachristic level, on a very fine level, what happened? He says, it's enough to have the lev. Inside it's good. Right? Everyone's kadosh. Inside it's gavaldik. Everyone's on, you know, what was Korach's claim? What was the famous medrash? He comes to Moshe and he says, Atalas that's kulo tcheles, right? Should be pater from tzitzis. Why? Because if one string of tcheles can exempt, it can take care of the baguette. So if it's kulo tcheles, what do you need tzitzis for? What's the pshat? Based on everything we said. Again, this is all based on the Yisra Bracha. It's an unbelievable piece, how he ties it all together. Look at Source 9. What does Tcheles represent? The Gemara asks, Rabbi Meir says, Manish Tana Tcheles Mikol Minei Tzivonin. Why was Tcheles selected to be used in the Tzitzis? Mimnesha Tcheles Domo Le'yam V'yam Domo Le'rakia V'rakia Domo Le'kisei HaKavod. Tcheles brings you straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. That's Kavaldik, says Korach. If I'm kulo tcheles, if I'm thinking about Hashem all day, if my kavanah is so lofty, do I really need to take that palm frond in my hand and shake it? Does it really matter? If I'm connected to Hashem spiritually, internally, b'shriris libi eilich, do I really need to tie my tefillin? Do I need to care that I tie them correctly? What's the point? Tcheles, right? I'm connected straight to the kisei hakavod. Moshe says back to him, no, tzitzis, right? Va'asu lahem tzitzis. Tzitzis is the Indian of Asiya. It's the reminder of all 613 mitzvahs. You have to be someone who does. It's not enough to just be. And again, Korach, you know, again, we can't begin to understand his kavanos, his intent here. But vasulam tzitzis. Korach says in Sukkah Yud Aleph, tasev alomena asoy. Tzitzis is the spitz, you know, example of what? Of Asiya, of doing. Of netilas yadayim. You take your tzitzis in your hand. B'shas kabbalas ol malchus shemayim. Because you're saying, I'm dedicated to doing. And now you understand everything that went wrong with Korach. Let's go back to source number one. What was our question on Korach? Libo lachlo. Said the Majid to Rebbe. What do you mean, libo? His heart took him. Anytime we do an Avera, we're taken by our hearts. No, it was a Shita. His Shita was, it's good enough. As long as it's good in my heart, that's good enough. I don't need to be Osek in the Maisi Yadayim. He was led astray by the aspect of Totafos Beinei Nechem. It's enough to have the Moach, to have the Machshava, right? What's interesting is that dafka, the tefillin shel yad, is worn opposite the lev. It kind of keeps the lev in check, right? But it's enough to just have a necham. And with that, you have another diuk in Rashi. In source number 10, what does Rashi say? The korach shepikeachaya mara l'shtuzeh. How did he get involved in this? How could such a tzaddik make a mistake? What happened? Eino itato. He was led astray by a necham. He thought it was enough to just have the lev, to just have the machshava, to just have the ayin. And again, chas v'shalom mezalzel those things. You know, most of the shiur might give are about those things, right? But sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the ikar is the asiya. That's how we show real love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to take it one step further with Korach, it's dafka Korach, of all people, who this is such a tragedy by. Because Korach was supposed to be someone who was metakin in Inyan of asiya. Where do we see that? Right? The Jukover, the Imre Noam, in source number 11, tells us that Korach was a Gilgal of Kain. What was Kain's avoda? Right, he says of Vayikach Korach, Ki Adu Asher Korach Gilgul Kayin, Umoshaya Gilgul Hevel. Fascinating thing there. Rizal, the truth is Korach is also somewhat related to Moshe and to Hevel. Right, that Rizal writes in the Kutei Torah that if you take Moshe in Gematria 345 minus Hevel is Gematria Korach. So there's somehow this relationship between Korach and Hevel and Moshe, but primarily Korach is connected to Kayin and Moshe is connected to Hevel. Moshe, Hevel, is the Indian of Dibor. Right? Why does Moshe get in such trouble for hitting the rock? He's supposed to speak to the rock. He's Hevel. Right? The Hevel Pihem, like the Chazal always talked about. Right? The breath of our speech. Kayin, on the other hand, is what? He's an Oved Adama, as he quotes the Psukim. V'chol Eilu HaShahim Gilgal Kayin. Anyone who's a Gilgal of Kayin is supposed to what? Heim Tzrichim Lefol HaKol B'Poa B'Maisa Daika. He's supposed to be someone who uses his Yadayim properly. That's the avoda of Kayin, like the Pasuk says. V'Kayin Haya Oved Adama. He worked with his hands. That's it. That's his avoda. You know, it's fascinating. Who else was Kayin? Who else was a Gilgal of Kayin? Remember?
Yisro.
And the Mitzri. Right, the Shlah, good. The Shlah says in Parsha Shmos that Yisro and the Mitzri, right, were also Kayin. Very wondrous things trying to make sense of that. But isn't it interesting that when Moshe Dafka kills the Mitzri, which is really an instant replay of Kayin and Hevel, the first time around, Kayin killed Hevel. The second time around, who? Moshe kills the Mitzri, which is Hevel, so to speak, taking revenge on Kayin. How does he kill him? Shlod doesn't say this, but I was thinking it tonight as I was preparing the shiur. How does he kill him? What does Rashi say? He killed him with speech. Right? Moshe used the Indian of speech, which is what Hevel is, the Hevel Pia. So everything is very, very mesudar. But Korach is supposed to rectify this Indian of Kayin, Maisei Yadayim. Says the Imre Noam, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? V'zeu achilek shebein Shabbos v'yom tov, asher b'yom tov huter melechet ochel nefesh. On Yom Tov, we're allowed to work with our hands. We're allowed to prepare the food. Shupu'ula samaisa. Right? What does it say by Korach and his chevra? They're kriye moed. Kriye moed is an Indian of what? Of Yom Tov. They're an Indian of Yom Tov. They're supposed to be a chevra who knows how to use the maisi yadayim properly. They're anchei shem. What does it mean that they were anchei shem? They knew how to use the divine name. That sounds like an Indian of speech. Says the Megal Muko, say the Svarim, Shayu Oskin B'Shemos Pu'ulos Hamaisa. They knew how to write, right? They knew how to write Kameyas. They knew how to write all sorts of Kabbalistic things down, right? In order to do things. They knew how to do things that were involved in Maisa, Pu'ulos Hamaisa. They knew practical Kabbalah. Maisa Yadayim. He goes so far as to say, even Kriyei Moed Anche Shemes Sofei Tevos Yadayim. But what went wrong? They were using the Yadayim in the wrong way. How were they using it? It sounds like they were being Osek in the Indian of Yadayim. How were they using it? Why were they Anche Shem? The Sfarim explained that they used to use the Shem, they knew the Shem of Mefarash. They knew how to dabble in the Shem of Mefarash. Where do we use the Shem of Mefarash? The Gemara says in Yoma, Daf Samach Zayin, Samach Tes, sorry, you're only allowed to use the Shem of Mefarash where? In the Mishkan. Korach held that all of his chaver was a Mishkan. Ki besocham Hashem. I don't need a physical Mishkan. I've got a Mishkan inside of me. I have to be busy building a physical Mishkan. And that's why when Moshe, what does it say? Moshe hears Korach, and it says he falls on his face. What does the Gemara say in Yoma Samach Vav? When you hear someone say Shem Mefarash, right? They used to fall on their face. So he fell on his face. So Korach, he's using it to uproot the Mishkan. He's using the Inyan of Yadayim, the Pula Samaisa, to uproot the Avoda, to uproot the Makom of Asiya, the place where the Kohanim get down and dirty with their hands, so to speak. Right? And that's why it's especially, the Imre Noam brings out this point of the Yisra Bracha one step further, it's especially tragic for Korach of all people, who's supposed to be metaking with the Yadayim, that he uses it to uproot, you know, mitzvot and maisim. And obviously there are many other psukim you could explain with this relationship between, again, the Machshava and the Maisa, right? Miyala Bahar Hashem, a person who's what? Niki Adayim Uvar Levav, Niki Kapayim Uvar Levav, right? A person who uses both the Adayim and also uses the Lev. Yisra Bracha has another piece in sources 12 and 13. We'll skip it, save it for another time. But again, this Yisod is such an important Yisod in being a Jew. To strike that balance of being, and again, you know, normally I would be speaking the other way around, yelling about people who are doing but not thinking and not putting enough Kavanah and Machshava into it. But we also have to be careful. There's a certain laziness where we pretend, you know, I'm doing the, you know, I come up with all these kavanas and machshavas and reasons to convince myself why I can come a few minutes late to shul, or why I can skip minyan, or why I can cancel my chavrusa, right? And I can come up with all these machshavas in the world, but lemaisa, if a person wants to show a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he loves him, there has to be a sacrifice, a willingness to do beyond oneself. Okay, just two other points that I thought could perhaps, you know, come out of this idea. I think they're emistic points. I didn't see anyone who said them, but you know, it could be that it's found in Sfarim. I was thinking, first of all, why is it Shlomo HaMelech who was the one who was metaken Netilas Yadayim? Of all people, he was the one who instituted Netilas Yadayim. Why Shlomo HaMelech? So I was thinking, maybe it's a tikkun for him. Perhaps Shlomo HaMelech sinned by going too far to that aspect of Lev. Where do we see that? Where do we see that Shlomo is nichshol with Lev, and therefore he is the one who creates, who establishes the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim? The Gemara in Erev in Source 14, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Bishash and Tikkun Shlomo Erevin v'Netilas Yadayim. Why? Why Shlomo Melech of all people? I think the answer is Source 15, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that, what did Shlomo say? The Torah tells us what? Lo Yarbo Lo Nashim, the king shouldn't have too many wives. Why? Because it's going to lead his heart astray. Shlomo Melech says, my heart? I don't have to worry about my heart. Right? I understand how to use the heart the right way. Amar Shlomo, ani arbe v'lo asur. I'll increase wives and I won't stray. And of course, what happens? Malach Malach Perak Yud Aleph, the end of his life. Vayile zikna Shlomo, nashav hituas levavo. He dafka was nichshol in the area of Lev. He got carried away. He thought he was in control of his heart. He thought it was enough to be in control of one's heart. And therefore, the only way for him to bring a tikkun, I think maybe you could say, is that he's the one who's been talking to Tilas Yudayim, of all people. Right? To be a Shlomo, to be someone who's Shalim, to be balanced both in Machshava and in Maisa. And one other interesting thought that I had that I think relates as well to what we've learned tonight, right? When it comes to Shema, we cover our eyes. Why do we cover our eyes during Kriya Shema? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Source 16, Noagin litein yedeim al paneim b'kriyas pasuk harishon, kedei shelo yistakel b'davar acher shemono milechavein. The Pashup Shah, why we cover our eyes, you know, we've heard all sorts of Jewish answers. The Pashup Shah is to concentrate. I shouldn't be looking. This is the moment of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I want to block everything out. So I place my, right, Yedeyim al Paneim, interesting Lashon. I place my hands on my face, cover up completely. Right, obviously, we're not knowing to do like that. How are we knowing? We take our Yad Yamin, and we place it over our two eyes, specifically. Not over our whole face, although, Kabbalistically, some people, you know, put their talis over their face. Maybe that's the whole meaning of talis, tchelis, is what to think about here. But the Arizal writes in Shara Kavanos, in Source 17, Gam kodem shetomer Shema Yisrael, tasgir shnei enecha biyad yamincha. Block out your eyes with your Yad. I think it's Pashut. What's the Kavana? You want to be someone who's mekabel ol malchus shemayim. You want to be someone who shows that he's really committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need to be prepared to put the hand on top of the eyes. Don't allow the eyes, the machshava, the kavanas to be dominant. If you really want to have a kabbalah soul, the yad has to be dominant. The yad has to cover over the eyes at the moment of kabbalah soul malchus shemayim. I think it's an emistic point. And maybe even one third point is when we daven for the returning of the avodah in Shmona Esrei. What do we say? We daven to say v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha. Let the eyes see. Because if the eyes don't see, if the eyes don't connect to the avodah, if they don't see the avodah, the real avodah samishkan, the avodah samikdash, so then the eyes are a failure, right? Then like Moshe says to them, I'll break it in front of you. You might as well break your eyes. There's no point to the eyes if it's not going to be with a sense of yad. Now, I think this time of year, as we're entering the summer months, right, it's a time to really to reflect on this. In the summer months, it's a time where often, you know, people go on vacations and we look for kulas to get out of asiya. To get out of it, I went this past Friday to hear Rav Avram Shore speak. And he was talking to a crowd of, his Brooklyn chevra, mostly adults. And he gave the following mashal. It happens to be I was with Rav Eli Marcus and two Rashid guys. So it could be he threw this in for those, because I can't imagine anyone else in the room at the time was shy after playing basketball in the summer. It just didn't look like, it wasn't, and Rav Shore was talking about the Indian of tzitzis. He says, why is it, in his deep voice, why is it that the Yitzhahara Dafka, tries to get us to take off our tzitzis in the summer months, you're playing basketball, and he'll tell you all sorts of heterim that, he'll even give you good kavah, he'll give you good svaras, it's a bizoy to the tzitzis to get them all sweaty. He says, I'm telling you, it's not a bizoy to the tzitzis to get them all sweaty. And he says, Bismanazah, there's all sorts of, kulas with regard to different types of tzitzis. He says, why is that? He's describing how tzitzis is such an important inyan, it's a shmira to a person, a shmira that we need, especially dafka, in the summer months. Right, but you think about the inyan of asiya, the tzitzis, which represent asiya. Right? In the summer months, where a person sometimes relies on various heterim, he goes on vacation and he goes to a place where there's not a minyan or he's not as careful about other things. Right? It's a time where we dafka have to show Hashem, no, we're committed to the asiya. We're not going to look for ways to be like Korach, where we just say b'shrius li b'eilech. And again, halavai, we should have the kavanas that that Korach had in his heart. Halavai. And but we have to be people who say, we're committed to ma'isa. The Sfarim say, the Bnei Yisrael talks, the month of Tammuz and Av correspond to the two eyes. Every month has a corresponding body part. Tammuz and Av correspond to the right eye and the left eye. Right? It's a time of eyes. It's a time where hopefully we're being metaken in this union of eyes. But there's a danger that we could stray in the area of eyes. That we'll come up with all sorts of kavanas and why this is allowed and I can be more relaxed. Right? It's just that's the nature of the world in the summer months. People are more at ease. But the month of Elul, the Sfarim explained, if you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, the month of Elul is dafka, right? Every month also has a body part, it has an action associated with it. Right? Pesach, Nisan is a month of Dibur. Right? Iyar is a month of Hirhor. What's Elul? Elul is a month of Asiya. Right? If the eyes lead to an Asiya, if the Tammuz and Av lead to an Asiya, then all the Kavanas in the world are Gevaldik. But if it doesn't lead, if I can't come to an Elul, if I can't come back to the Yom Noram and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Kavanas are connected, that the Inayim are connected to the Adayim, to the Asiya, then I've totally failed. I've taken nothing away from the summer. An opportunity that was presented to me, challenging months. Months where I can show Mesirat Nefesh for Hashem. Right? They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. That was how the Ramban started the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shomer Mitzvah Sai, is the person who is Mesirat Nefesh for Eretz Yisrael. Where the Meraglim sin, the 3 weeks, this is the time, Dafka, the time of year, to be Metakin. And when we have this type of tikkun, we can bring a tremendous mechila upon ourselves. Right, just to conclude with the final two sources. In source 19, Vayavor Hashem al panav vayikra. Hashem passed before, taught us the secret of tshuva, of mechila, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yod Zayin Amabes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan il mali mikra kasav yefshal omro. If the pasuk didn't say it, then it would be impossible to say such a thing. Right? It just seems crazy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to do for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the union of talis, the union of tzitzis. Not the talis that was kula tcheles, right? Which was a heter in tzitzis. But he took a talis, a properly prepared talis. And he taught Moshe Seder Tvila. He taught him how to get out of any problem. Had the Torah not said it, we'd say, you can't. How could a person have such a tshuva, such a mechila? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, Kol Zman Sheyisrael Choten Yasu Lefanei Kaseidah Erzeh V'Ani Moch Alehem. Explains the Chavetz Chaim with the Mashal. It's in a Sefer Shem Olam. It's also, if you don't have that Sefer, I'm sure some people have the Sefer Darche Musar, right, he has it by the piece on Slichos on page 257. What's the Mashal of the Chavetz Chaim? There's this guy who owns a store and he hires someone to take care of his store. So this fellow is working in the store, and he gives him a list of things. He gives him this long list of things to take care of while he's gone. The guy comes back after a couple weeks, and he says, "Nu, how did it go?" He says, "I'll tell you." He says, every day I did exactly what you want. "Yeah, that's unbelievable. Let me see." He comes into the shop. Nothing's taken care of. He says, "What? I don't understand. What did you do?" He says, "What do you mean? Every day I came to the store, I read the list. And I read the list again, and I read the list." He says, "When you read the list, you think that's... I want you to do the things on the list. I didn't ask you to read the list." We come to the Yom Lerab, we come to Slichos, you come back to Elv, Zman of Asiya. And Hashem says, "Nu, show me what you're going to do this year." And we say, Salachti kidvarecha, we want to use the Koach HaDibur, right? Hashem says, whoa, that's not what I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you to just... It's not lip service, right? It's Yasu, says the Chavos Chaim. Yasu lefanei kaseder hazeh. Do these things. Don't just talk about them. It's not a game where I say, this year I'm going to be better. Right? I'm going to be a more dedicated Jew in my heart. You want to be a more dedicated Jew in your heart? So show me. Show me. Yasu lefanei kaseder hazeh. Show me that you have a willingness to do. That's what makes a good person. That's what makes a good Jew. That's what makes a complete Jew. A well-rounded Jew. A person who understands that the Yad and the Lev and the Moach and the Machshava and the Einayim all have to come together. Right, it all has to come together to complete the package. I'll end with a great little story. It was worth putting inside, and I thank you for your patience and everyone for learning with me and together. Right, the Sefer Nesivei Or of Nissim Yagain. It was a big rav in Eretz Yisrael, very involved in Kiev. Just look at it; it's kedai to read it inside. Harav Karl Toshvei Akvar Laniach Tefillin. Rav Nissim Yagain would try to convince people to be. Like Rosh Hashanah Shadron, we'll end where we started, right? To put on tefillin, to be Shomer Shabbos. Achim b'shalahem. And there's this one kfar in Eretz Yisrael, very unsuccessful, never could get through to them. U'mizgam b'davar echad. They always had the same excuse. What was it? Yesh lanu lev tov. Anu dogim echad l'sheini osim chesed. V'lo osim ra laf echad. We're very nice people. We're really good people in our hearts. Ma'asa harav. No, what did Rav Nissim Yagain do? Yom echad hichriz ki orech shebikir asa meis piso. He declared, he said, there was someone who was visiting by me, he passed away suddenly. Terrible tragedy. Everyone needs to come to the Levaya. V'atzibur nikr levo lishtate b'levayaso. B'shah ha-yehuda higia kol tibur. The whole town came out, right? They're good people, nice people. Everyone comes to the Levaya, this poor guy who passed away. Harav heichil ha-haspidas ha-nifter b'bechi tamurim. The Rebbe got up, Rav Nissim Yagain got up, and he started crying and telling, very sad things. Eiz a tzaddik hu haya. Oh, what a tzaddik this person was. Eiz a leiv tov haya lo. Af pam hu lo ganav. Right, he never killed, he never hit anyone. Eiz a leiv tov haya lo. V'kach hispid a rabu bachal. The rabu was crying as he gave this very passionate hespid. And the tzibur was moved by it. Gam a tzibur kishiro as a rab bocha. Right, bachu imo, they were crying with him. Typo, kachu, bachu. Bachu imo, they were... Type this one up, sorry. They were crying with him. Adashar Higil Abesa Kfaros. Everyone's coming to Abesa Kfaros. Really, wow, what a special person must have passed away. Vazkara Rav Omer, Hotziwa Sameis Vakavroso. Take out the mace, let's bury him. Pashu Asa Aaron, they opened up the coffin. Vihine, Kevas Mace. Right? A dead animal. A dead animal, a sheep lying in the box. Kosu Kulam al Rav and Tamu. They screamed at him, right? You're a liar. Shakarta Asar, you tricked us, you deceived us. According to your definition, a good Jew is a person who has a leiv tov, right? Azgama Kevas, who's Yehudi? There's a beautiful Jew who passed away. How can you not be mishtatef? Your crying was absolutely correct. Again, the people started to get it. And they understood that to be a good Jew, yes, of course, the leiv is the mishkan of the neshama, there's no question about it. But it has to be connected to the Maisi Yadayim. So Mirza Hashem, we should be Zocha, like it says at the end of the first parak of Pirkei Avos, Lo Amedjush Ha'ikar El HaMaisa. Right? The shir that we learned together is very nice, but if we want to actually be Mekayim this year, right? Lo Amedjush Ha'ikar El HaMaisa. Try in the summer to, not to use it as a zman for vacation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but a zman of Asiya, of real Asiya. We can come to the Yom Lerum, Yasu Lefanei Kaseder Hazeh. We come to the month of Elul, the month of Asiya, and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my eyes are in the right place, my hands are in the right place, and Mirtz Hashem will be Zocha. Again, not only like Korach said, not just to have the Mishkan within ourselves, Ki Besocha Hashem, right, which is also true, but also to be Zocha to see, Mamish, the descending of the Mizbeach Shal Eish, the Mishkan Shal Eish, the Beis HaMikdash, B'mheir B'yameinu. Thank you for having me. Yeah.